the two prisoners. As they did so, the scouts began drifting away, ranging farther out to form a kind of moving screen. By the time they finally stepped out from under the forest canopy, their escort numbered no fewer than 10 biker scouts and 20 stormtroopers. It was an impressive display of military power, and more even than the fact of the search itself, it drove home to Luke the seriousness with which the mysterious man in charge of the Empire was treating this incident. Even at the height of their power, the Imperials hadn't spent stormtroopers lightly. 3 more people were waiting for them in the 50-meter strip of open land between the forest and the nearest structures of Hilliard City. 2 more stormtroopers and a hard-faced man wearing a major's insignia on his dusty brown Imperial uniform.
"About time,"
the latter muttered under his breath as Mara and Luke were nudged in his direction.
"Who are they?"
"The mail says his name is Jade,"
one of the stormtroopers in front reported in that slightly filtered voice they all seemed to have.
"Bounty hunter. Works for Card. He claims the female is his prisoner."
"Was his prisoner,"
the major corrected, looking at Mara.
"What's your name, thief?"
"Seni Khifu," Mara said, her voice surly. "And I'm not a thief. Talon Card owes me. He owes me big. I didn't take any more than I had coming."
The major looked at Luke, and Luke shrugged.
"Card's other dealings aren't any of my business. He said bring her back, I brought her back."
"And a theft too, I see."
He looked at R2, still tied to his travois and dragging behind the speeder bike.
"Get that droid off your bike," he ordered the scout. "The ground's flat enough here, and I want you on perimeter. Put it with the prisoners. Cuff them too. They're hardly likely to fall over tree roots out here."
"Wait a minute,"
Luke objected, as one of the stormtroopers stepped toward him.
"Me too?"
The major raised his eyebrows slightly.
"You got a problem with that bounty hunter?"
he asked, his voice challenging.
"Yeah, I've got a problem with it," Luke shot back. "She's the prisoner here, not me."
"For the moment, you're both prisoners,"
the other countered.
"So shut up."
He frowned at Luke's face.
"What in the Empire happened to you anyway?"
So they weren't going to be able to pass the puffiness off as Luke's natural features.
"Ran into some kind of bush while I was chasing her," he growled as the stormtrooper roughly cuffed his hands in front of him. "It itched like blazes for a while."
The major smiled thinly.
"How very inconvenient for you,"
he said dryly.
"How fortunate that we have a fully qualified medic back at HQ. He should be able to bring that swelling down in no time."
He held Luke's gaze a moment longer, then shifted his attention to the stormtrooper leader.
"You disarmed him, of course."
The stormtrooper gestured, and the first of the biker scouts swooped close to hand Mara's blaster to the major.
"Interesting weapon,"
the major murmured, turning it over in his hands before sliding it into his belt. From overhead came a soft hum, and Luke looked up to see a repulsor lift craft settle into place overhead. A chariot assault vehicle, just as Mara had predicted.
"Ah,"
the major said, glancing up at it.
"All right, Commander, let's go."
In many ways, Hilliard City reminded Luke of Mos Eisley. Small houses and commercial buildings crammed fairly tightly together, with relatively narrow streets running between them. The troop headed around the perimeter, clearly aiming for one of the wider avenues that seemed to radiate spoke-like from the center of town. Looking into the city as they passed by the outer buildings, Luke was able to catch occasional glimpses of what seemed to be an open area a few blocks away. The town square, possibly, or else a spacecraft landing area. The Vanguard had just reached the target street when, in perfect synchronization, the stormtroopers abruptly changed formation. Those in the inner circle pulled in closer to Luke and Mara, while those in the outer circle moved farther away, the whole crowd coming to a halt and gesturing to their prisoners to do the same. A moment later, the reason for the sudden maneuver came around the corner. 4 scruffy-looking men walking briskly toward them with a 5th man in the center of their square, his hands chained behind him. They had barely emerged from the street when they were intercepted by a group of 4 stormtroopers. A short and inaudible conversation ensued, which concluded with the strangers handing their blasters over to the stormtroopers with obvious reluctance. Escorted now by the Imperials, they continued on toward the main group, and as they walked, Luke finally got a clear look at the prisoner. It was Han Solo. The stormtroopers opened their ranks slightly to let the newcomers through.
What do you want?
The major demanded as they stopped in front of him.
Name's Chin, one of them said. We caught this rat snooping around the forest, maybe looking for your prisoners there. Figured you might want to have a talk with him, he. Uncommonly generous of you,
the major said sardonically, giving Han a quick measuring glance.
You come to this conclusion all by yourself?
Chin drew himself up.
Just because I don't live in a big, flashy city doesn't mean I'm stupid,
he said stiffly.
What high? You think we don't know what it means when Imperial stormtroopers start getting up a temporary garrison?
The major gave him a long, cool look.
You'd best just hope that the garrison is temporary.
He glanced at the stormtrooper beside him, jerked his head toward Han.
Check him for weapons.
We already...
Chin began. The major looked at him, and he fell silent. The frisking took only a minute and came up empty.
Put him in the pocket with the others,
the major ordered.
All right, Chin. You and your friends can go. If he turns out to be worth anything, I'll see you get a piece of it. Uncommonly generous of you,
Chin said with an expression that was just short of a sneer.
Can we have our guns back now?
The major's expression hardened.
You can pick them up later at our HQ,
he said.
Hilliard Hotel, straight across the square. But I'm sure a sophisticated citizen like yourself already knows where it is.
For a moment, Chin seemed inclined to argue the point, but a glance at the stormtroopers clustered around evidently changed his mind for him. Without a word, he turned, and he and his three companions strode back toward the city.
Move out!
The major ordered, and they started up again.
Well, Han muttered, falling into step beside Luke. Together again, huh?
I wouldn't miss it, Luke muttered back. Your friends there seem in a hurry to get away.
Probably don't want to miss the party,
Han told him.
A little something they threw together to celebrate my capture.
Luke threw him a sideways look.
Shame we weren't invited.
Real shame,
Han agreed with a straight face.
You never know, though.
They had turned into the avenue now, moving toward the center of town. Just visible over the heads of the stormtroopers, he could see something gray and rounded directly ahead of them. Craning his neck for a better view, he saw that the structure was in fact a freestanding archway, rising from the ground near the far end of the open village square he had noticed earlier. A fairly impressive archway, too, especially for a city this far outside the mainstream of the galaxy. The upper part was composed of different types of fitted stone, the crown flaring outward like a cross between an umbrella and a section of sliced mushroom. The lower part curved in and downward to end in a pair of meter-square supporting pillars on each side. The entire arch rose a good 10 meters into the sky, with the distance between the pillars perhaps half that. Lying directly in front of it was the village square, a 15-meter expanse of empty ground. The perfect place for an ambush. Luke felt his stomach tighten. The perfect place for an ambush. Except that if it was obvious to him, it must be obvious to the stormtroopers as well. And it was. The vanguard of the party had reached the square now, and as the stormtroopers moved out of the confines of the narrow avenue, each lifted his blaster rifle a little higher and moved a little farther apart from his fellows. They were expecting an ambush, all right. And they were expecting it right here. Gritting his teeth, Luke focused again on the archway.
Is 3PO here?
He muttered to Han. He sensed Han's frown, but the other didn't waste time with unnecessary questions.
He's with Lando, yeah?
Luke nodded and glanced down to his right. Beside him, R2 was rolling along the bumpy street, trying hard to keep up. Bracing himself, Luke took a step in that direction. and with a squeal, R2 tripped over Luke's outstretched foot and fell flat with a crash. Luke was crouched beside him in an instant, leaning over him as he struggled with his manacled hands to get the little droid upright again. He sensed some of the stormtroopers moving forward to assist, but for that single moment, there was no one else close enough to hear him. R2, call to 3PO. He breathed into the droid's audio receptor. Tell him to wait until we're at the archway to attack. The droid complied instantly, its loud warble nearly deafening Luke as he crouched there beside him. Luke's head was still ringing when rough hands grabbed him under the arms and hauled him to his feet. He regained his balance, to find the Major standing in front of him, a suspicious scowl on his face.
What was that?
The other demanded.
He fell over, Luke told him. I think he tripped.
I meant that transmission!
The Major cut him off harshly.
What did he say?
He was probably telling me off for tripping him, Luke shot back. How should I know what he said?
For a long minute, the Major glared at him.
Move out, Commander!
He said at last to the stormtrooper at his side.
Everyone stay alert!
He turned away, and they started walking again.
I hope, Han murmured from beside him. You know what you're doing.
Luke took a deep breath and fixed his eyes on the archway ahead.
So do I, he murmured back. In a very few minutes, he knew, they would both find out.
Chapter 29.
Oh my!
3PO gasped.
General Calrissian, I have...
Quiet, 3PO,
Lando ordered, peering carefully around the edge of the window at the minor commotion going on across the square.
Did you see what happened, Aves?
Crouched down beneath the windowsill, Aves shook his head.
Looked like Skywalker and his droid both fell over, he said. Couldn't tell for sure. Too many stormtroopers in the way.
General Calrissian!
Quiet, 3PO!
Lando watched tensely as two stormtroopers pulled Luke to his feet, then righted R2.
Looks like they're okay.
Yeah.
Aves reached down to the floor beside him, picked up the small transmitter.
Here we go. Let's hope everyone's ready.
And that Chin and the others aren't still carrying their blasters,
Lando added under his breath. Aves snorted.
They aren't. Don't worry. Stormtroopers are always confiscating other people's weapons.
Lando nodded, adjusting his grip on his blaster, wishing they could get this over with. Across the way, the Imperials seemed to have gotten themselves sorted out and were starting to move again. As soon as they were all inside the square, away from any possible cover...
General Calrissian, I must speak to you! I have a message from Master Luke!
Lando blinked at him.
From Luke?
But even as he said it, he suddenly remembered that electronic wail from R2 just after he'd fallen over. Could that have been...
What is it?
Master Luke wants you to hold off the attack,
3PO said, obviously relieved that someone was finally listening to him.
He says you're to wait until the stormtroopers are at the arch before firing.
Aves twisted around.
What? That's crazy. They outnumber us 3-1. We give them any chance at all at cover and they'll cut us to pieces.
Lando looked out the window, grinding his teeth together. Aves was right. He knew enough of ground tactics to realize that. But on the other hand...
They're awfully spread out there, he said. Cover or no cover, they're going to be hard to take out. Especially with those speeder bikes on the perimeter.
Aves shook his head. It's crazy, he repeated. I'm not going to risk my people that way.
Luke knows what he's doing, Lando insisted. He's a Jedi.
He's not a Jedi now, Aves snorted. Didn't Card explain about the Issa Lemiri?
Whether he has Jedi powers or not, he's still a Jedi,
Lando insisted. His blaster, he realized, suddenly was pointed at Aves. But that was okay, because Aves' blaster was pointed at him, too.
Anyway, his life is more on the line here than any of yours. You can always abort and pull back.
Oh, sure,
Aves snorted, throwing a glance out the window. The Imperials were nearing the middle of the square now, Lando saw, the stormtroopers looking wary and alert as anything.
Except that if we leave any of them alive, they'll seal off the city. And what about that chariot up there?
What about it? Lando countered. I still haven't heard how you're planning to take it out.
Well, we sure as blazes don't want it on the ground,
Aves retorted.
And that's what'll happen if we let the stormtroopers get to the arch. The chariot'll pull down right across the front of it, right between us and them. That plus the arch itself will give them all the cover they need to sit back and take us out at their leisure.
He shook his head and shifted his grip on the transmitter.
Anyway, it's too late to clue in the others to any plan changes.
You don't have to clue them in,
Lando said, feeling sweat collecting under his collar.
Luke was counting on him.
No one's supposed to do anything until you trigger the booby trap weapons.
Aves shook his head again.
It's too risky.
He turned back to the window, raised the transmitter. And here, Lando realized, right here was where it all came down to the wire. Where you decided who or what it was you trusted. Tactics and abstract logic, or people. Lowering his blaster, he gently rested the tip of the muzzle against Abe's neck.
We wait, he said quietly.
Abe's didn't move. But suddenly there was something in the way he crouched there that reminded Lando of a hunting predator.
I won't forget this, Calrissian,
he said, his voice icy soft.
I wouldn't want you to,
Lando said. He looked out at the stormtroopers and hoped that Luke did indeed know what he was doing. The vanguard had already passed the archway, and the Major was only a few steps away from it when four of the stormtroopers abruptly blew up. Quite spectacularly, too. The simultaneous flashes of yellow-white fire lit up the landscape to almost painful intensity. The thunderclap of multiple detonations nearly knocked Luke over. The sound was still ringing in his ears when the blasters opened up behind them. The stormtroopers were good, all right. There was no panic that Luke could detect, no sudden freezing in astonishment or indecision. They were moving into combat position almost before the blaster fire had begun. Those already at the archway hugging close to the stone pillars to return covering fire. The rest moving quickly to join them. Above the sound of the blasters, he could hear the increased whine of the speeder bikes kicking into high speed. Overhead, he caught just a glimpse of the chariot assault vehicle swiveling around to face the unseen attackers. And then, an armored hand caught him under each armpit, and suddenly he was being hauled toward the archway. A few seconds later, he was dumped unceremoniously in the narrow gap between the two pillars supporting the north side of the arch. Mara was already crouched there. A second later, two more stormtroopers tossed Han in to join them. Four of the Imperials moved into position over them, using the pillars for cover as they began returning fire. Struggling to his knees, Luke leaned out for a look. Out in the fire zone, looking small and helpless amid the deadly horizontal hail of blaster fire, R2 was rolling toward them as fast as his little wheels would carry him.
I think we're in trouble, Han muttered in his ear. Not to mention Lando and the others.
It's not over yet, Luke told him tightly. Just stick close. How are you at causing distractions?
Terrific,
Han said, and to Luke's surprise, he brought his hands out from behind his back, the chain and manacles he'd been wearing hanging loosely from his left wrist.
Trick cuffs, he grunted, pulling a concealed strip of metal from the inside of the open cuff and probing at Luke's restraints. I hope this thing... Ah!
The pressure on Luke's wrist was suddenly gone. The cuffs opened and dropped to the ground.
You ready for your distraction?
Han asked, taking the loose end of his chain in his free hand.
Hang on a minute, Luke told him, looking up. Most of the speeder bikes had taken refuge under the arch, looking like some strange species of giant birds hiding from a storm as they hovered close to the stone, their laser cannons spitting toward the surrounding houses. In front of them, and just below their line of fire, the chariot had swiveled parallel to the arch and was coming down.
Once it was on the ground, a hand gripped Luke's arm, fingernails digging hard into the skin.
Whatever you're going to do, do it, Mara hissed viciously. If the chariot gets down, you'll never get them out from cover.
I know, Luke nodded. I'm counting on it.
The chariot settled smoothly to the ground directly in front of the arch, blocking the last of the attacker's firing vectors. Crouched at the window, Abe swore violently.
Well, there's your Jedi for you, he bit out. You got any other great ideas, Calrissian?
Lando swallowed hard.
We've just got to give it...
He never finished the sentence. From the arch, a blaster bolt glanced off the window frame, and suddenly Lando's upper arm flashed with pain. The shock sent him stumbling backward, just as a second shock blew apart the whole section of the frame, driving wooden splinters and chunks of masonry like shrapnel across his chest and arm. He hit the floor, landing hard enough to see stars. Blinking, gritting his teeth against the pain, he looked up, to find Aves leaning over him. Lando looked up into the other's face.
I won't forget this, Aves had said, no more than 3 minutes ago.
And from the look on his face, he wasn't anticipating any need to hold that memory for much longer.
He'll come through, Lando whispered through the pain. He will.
But he could tell that Aves wasn't listening. And down deep, Lando couldn't blame him. Lando Calrissian, the professional gambler, had gambled one last time, and he'd lost. And the debt from that gamble, the last in a long line of such debts, had come due. The chariot settled smoothly to the ground directly in front of the arch, and Luke got his feet under him. This was it.
All right, Han, he muttered.
Go! Han nodded and surged to his feet, coming up right in the middle of the four stormtroopers standing over them. With a bellow, he swung his former shackles full across the faceplate of the nearest guard, then threw the looped chain around the neck of the next and pulled backward, away from the pillars. The other two reacted instantly, leaping after him and taking the whole group down in a tangle. And for the next few seconds, Luke was free. He stood up and leaned out to look around the pillar. R2 was still in the middle of no man's land, hurrying to reach cover before he could be hit by a stray shot. He warbled plaintively as he saw Luke. R2, now! Luke shouted, holding out his hand and glancing across toward the southern end of the archway. Between the stone pillars and the grounded chariot, the stormtroopers were indeed solidly entrenched. If this didn't work, Han was right. Lando and everyone else out there were dead. Gritting his teeth, hoping fervently that his counterattack wasn't already too late, he turned back to R2. Just as, with a flicker of silver metal and perfect accuracy, his lightsaber dropped neatly into his outstretched hand. Beside him, the guards had subdued Han's crazy attack and were getting back to their feet, leaving Han on his knees between them. Luke took them all in a single sweep, the blazing green lightsaber blade slicing through the glistening stormtrooper armor with hardly a tug to mark its passing. Get behind me, he snapped to Han and Mara, stepping back to the gap between the two northern pillars and focusing on the mass of Imperials standing and crouching between him and the southern pillars. They were suddenly aware that they had an unexpected threat on their flank, and a few were already starting to bring their blasters to bear on him. With the Force to guide his hand, he could have held out against them indefinitely, blocking their blaster shots with a lightsaber. Mara had been right, though. The Isilamiri effect did indeed extend this far outside the forest, and the Force was still silent. But then, he'd never had any intention of fighting the stormtroopers anyway. Turning his back on the blasters tracking toward him, he slashed the lightsaber across and upward, neatly slicing one of the stone pillars in half. There was a loud crack as suddenly released tension sent a shiver through the structure. Another stroke cut through the second pillar, and the noise of the battle was abruptly drowned out by the awful grinding of stone on stone as the two fractured pillars began sliding apart. Luke swung back around, peripherally aware of Han and Mara scrambling out from under the arch to safety behind him. The stormtroopers' expressions were hidden behind their masks, but the look of sudden horror on the Major's face said it for all of them. Overhead, the mass of the arch creaked warningly. Setting his teeth, Luke locked the lightsaber on and hurled it across the gap toward the pillars there. It cut through one of them and nicked the other. And with a roar, the whole thing came crashing down. Luke, standing at the edge, barely got out from under it in time. The stormtroopers crouched in the center,
didn't.
Chapter 30.
Card walked around the mass of stone to where the crumpled nose of the chariot assault vehicle poked out, a sense of slightly stunned disbelief coloring his vision.
One man? He murmured.
Well, we helped some, Apes reminded him, but the sarcasm of the words faded beneath the grudging respect clearly there behind it.
And without the Force, too, Card said.
He sensed Abe's shrug uncomfortably.
That's what Mara said, though of course Skywalker might have lied to her about it. Unlikely.
A motion at the edge of the square caught his eye, and Card looked over to see Solo and Skywalker helping a distinctly shaky-looking Lando Calrissian to one of the airspeeders parked around the perimeter.
Took a shot, did he?
Abe's grunted.
Came close to taking one of mine, too, he said. I thought he betrayed us. Figured I'd make sure he didn't walk away from it.
In retrospect, it's just as well you didn't.
Card looked up, searching the skies, wondering how long it would take the Imperials to respond to what had happened here today. Aves looked up, too.
We might still be able to hunt down the other two chariots before they get a chance to report, he suggested. I don't think headquarters people got any messages away before we took them out.
Card shook his head, feeling a deep surge of sadness rising through the sense of urgency within him. Not until now had he truly realized just how much he'd come to love this place. His base, the forest, the planet Merkur itself. Now when there was no choice but to abandon it.
No, he told Aves. There's no way to cover up our part in what happened here. Not from a man like Thrawn.
You're probably right, Aves said,
his voice taking on a sense of urgency of its own. He understood the implications of that, all right.
You want me to head back and start the evacuation?
Yes, and take Mara with you. Make sure she keeps busy, somewhere away from the Millennium Falcon and Skywalker's X-Wing.
He felt Aves' eyes on him, but if the other wondered, he kept his wonderings to himself.
Right. See you later.
He hurried away. The airspeeder with Calrissian aboard was lifting off now, heading back to where the Falcon was being prepped for flight. Solo and Skywalker were heading over toward a second airspeeder. With just a moment's hesitation, Card went over to intercept them. They reached the craft at the same time, and for a moment eyed each other across its bow.
Card, Solo said at last. I owe you one.
Card nodded.
Are you still going to get the ether away out of impoundment for me?
I said I would, Solo told him. Where do you want it delivered?
Just leave it on Abrigado. Someone will pick it up.
He turned his attention to Skywalker.
An interesting little trick,
he commented, tilting his head back toward the mass of rubble.
Unorthodox, to say the least.
Skywalker shrugged.
It worked, he said simply. That it did,
Card agreed.
Likely saving several of my people's lives in the bargain.
Skywalker looked him straight back in the eye.
Does that mean you've made your decision?
Card gave him a slight smile.
I don't really see as I have much choice anymore.
He looked back at Solo.
I presume you'll be leaving immediately.
As soon as we can get Luke's X-Wing rigged for towing,
Solo nodded.
Lando's doing okay, but he's going to need more specialized medical attention than the Falcon can handle.
It could have been worse,
Card said. Solo gave him a knowing look.
A lot worse, he agreed,
his voice hard.
So could all of it,
Card reminded him, putting an edge into his own voice. He could, after all, just as easily have turned the three of them over to the Imperials in the first place. And Solo knew it.
Yeah,
he conceded.
Well, so long.
Card watched as they got into the airspeeder.
One other thing, he said as they strapped in. Obviously, we're going to have to pull out of here before the Imperials figure out what's happened. That means a lot of lifting capacity if we're going to do it quickly. You wouldn't happen to have any surplus cargo or stripped-down military ships lying around I could have, would you?
Solo gave him a strange look.
We don't have enough cargo capacity for the New Republic's normal business, he said. I think I might have mentioned that to you.
Well then, alone perhaps,
Card persisted.
A stripped-down Mon Calamari Star Cruiser would do nicely.
I'm sure it would,
Solo returned, with more than a hint of sarcasm.
I'll see what I can do.
The canopy dropped smoothly down over them and sealed in place. Card stepped back, and with a whine of repulsor lifts, the airspeed rose into the sky. Orienting itself, it shot off toward the forest. Card watched it go, wondering if that last suggestion had been too little too late.